Go ahead, I'll be turning your Bibles to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Last week we started talking about building God's temple. And this morning I want to kind of continue from where we left off last week. Because like we discussed last week, the most important thing that God is interested in is His relationship with each one of us. Amen? That's what's important. It's our relationship with Him. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, the Bible says, God does not live in temples built by men. This temple that He's dwelling in right now, in you and me as baptized disciples, man didn't make this. Man did not build this. God did. Amen? That's why He's able to dwell in us. And in John 2 and in Matthew 21, we read about how Jesus went into the temple, got a whip, and started driving people out. He says, how dare you turn my Father's house into a marketplace? And the apostles remembered that the scriptures had said, zeal for your house will consume me. Because the temple was meant to be a house of prayer. But Jesus says, you have turned it into a den of robbers. And so the question I ask us this morning as we begin looking at the scriptures is, what kind of a house is this? Is it truly a house of prayer? Amen? Is your life truly, that temple that God is dwelling in, is it truly a house of prayer? And that's what we're going to be talking about. Many stuff changed my format. Can you guys see that? It says the Lord's temple, a house of prayer. That's what it says. We're going to try and make this work. Okay, it looks better now. Can you see that? So let's talk about when should we pray. In Psalm 55, verse 16, the Bible says, this is talking about David, but I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. Amen? The first thing we got to do, brothers and sisters, we got to have set times that we're praying. Amen? We got to have set times. David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. And he will cry out to God in the morning. He will cry out to God sometime around noon and sometime in the evening. This is not a legalistic thing. He understood that he needed God. He couldn't help but cry out to God. How many times do you pray in a day? I'm asking you. Is it just once? Is it several times a day? Is it as you go? Or God only hears your voice when you're in trouble? Amen? If this is meant to be a house of prayer, and I believe it is, we need to imitate David. Daniel was the same way. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. You know the story. We've gone through this. Nebuchadnezzar set up an idol that he wanted everybody to be worshiping. The statue of gold. And everybody was supposed to bow down to that thing. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room when the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, these examples exist in the Bible for our benefit. He said, but Richard, I work. So? You get a lunch hour? Don't just spend the entire 30 minutes or 1 hour or whatever it is you get eating, doing something. Spend some time in prayer. Talk to the man upstairs. Amen? Get in the habit. Oh, people are going to think I'm weird. Guess what? You're weird anyhow. So just get used to it. I'm weird anyhow. We're not called to be like the world. We are different from the world. Hey, Joe, what are you doing? I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now. I'm praying. Oh, really? Okay, I'll come back. They'll come back. Amen? Amen. But get in the habit of praying several times a day. A lot of us, we commute to work. Turn the radio off. Fish 105 or whatever it is, it's not going to get you to heaven. Or whatever else you're listening to. Turn that thing off. You're sitting in traffic, talk to God. Take advantage of the time. Amen? Don't be sitting there in traffic stewing, oh, here we go again. Use the opportunity. You're not going anywhere. It's moving very slowly. Just spend the time talking to the Almighty. Amen? Use that commute. Pray. Now, sorry, you can't close your eyes. Because you will cause an accident on 285 or 85 or whatever it is you get on. You can pray with your eyes wide open. It's okay. Amen? But get in the habit of praying constantly. Jesus was the same way. Very early in the morning, he would get up. As he went around preaching and teaching, he would look for solitary places and he would go pray. Why? Because he needed God. You're going to find out several things when you start doing that. You're going to be a lot less tired. I promise you. Why? Because God's power will strengthen you. Have you wondered sometimes, you know, they have this energy drink that they're selling right now. I think it's called 5-Hour Energy. For people that around 2 o'clock, they start feel like they want to go to sleep. You know you got power inside of you? Just pray. And it's amazing. Prayer is a lot more effective than that 5-Hour Energy drink. And again, prayer is free. I've said it before, I like free. That 5-Hour Energy drink costs money. They're not going to give it to you for free at Publix. Amen? You're going to find out you have a lot more energy throughout the day. You're going to find out that God is with you throughout the day. As you read through the scriptures, great men and women in the Bible, they were always constantly praying. This house should be called a house of prayer. That's what being a Christian is all about. Amen? I mean, think about it. I've asked this question before, but I'll ask it again. What do you think we're going to be doing for all of eternity? You think it's going to play video games? I don't think so. It's not going to be working. We're going to be with God. Now, the exciting thing is, when we get to that point, there's not going to be any temple in Jerusalem, by the way. It's all in Revelation. Because God and Jesus, the Lamb, will be right there. Amen? We're not going to need a temple. But we're going to be communing. We're going to be with God for eternity. And all this is practicing for that time. Amen? We need to get in the habit of it. We need to grow in it. It doesn't just happen. Amen? So we should pray at set times. Also, we should pray when we have special needs. Special needs call for special prayer times. Again, I've given the example of Jesus in Luke chapter 6. Before he chose the 12, the Bible tells us that he went up to a mountainside and he spent the entire night praying to God. That should be a habit that we also have. Before you make any major decisions in your life, spend a lot of time praying. Amen? Very, very important. I hope you were encouraged by Thursday night as people were sharing about answered prayers. Prayers that people have been praying for a long time. It's amazing how God works. I had a meeting with the elders and Gary on Wednesday night, and on the way home, you know, I was praying. I said, God, okay, what do you want us to do tomorrow? Believe it or not, I always pray about every lesson. It's not my church. It's God's church. My prayer is always, God, what do you want your children to hear? Always. And I thought, you know what? It would be good to have a sharing devotional and just allow people to share about answered prayers. That's what we're going to do tomorrow night. And I got home. My daughter told me, oh, Miss Julia called asking for you and Mom. And if you could call her back. So I said, okay, no problem. At first I thought, oh, I hope, you know, Bert is not back in the hospital. And so I called her. And she said, Richard, I got great news. I said, tell me. And she said, I'm a perfect match with Bert. And so I'm going to be able to give him a kidney. Where all this time she thought she was not a match. I mean, what are the odds? In one congregation, okay, where, whenever that was, about a couple of years ago, when Joe was able to give a kidney to his wife Lisa because she had kidney problems, and now Julia is going to be able to give one of her kidneys to her husband. What are the odds of that happening in one place? Brothers and sisters, that is God. That's God's doing. But it's all about prayer. Now, obviously, God knew, you know, when these guys got married to each other, he knew what their futures were. And it's amazing. Brought them together. That excites me. And so I said to her, I said, hey, here's what we're doing tomorrow night, and you're going to be number one. Man, that's great news. You need to share that. And that's why she went first on Thursday night. Because a lot of us, we've been praying. You know, I kind of looked over. I was sitting around the front, and I kind of looked over on the other aisle. Alan Rouse, one of our elders, was seated right across from me, and he was shedding tears. Now, I didn't look back. I'm sure maybe some of you were too, but Alan was shedding tears. But that's something to rejoice about. Amen. There are times when we're going to have some special needs, and, you know, those times they deserve special prayers. Amen? Again, the church did this in Acts chapter 12. You remember when they locked up Peter? Herod had killed James, and then they locked up Peter. And he was going to bring him to public trial and also kill him. And the Bible tells us that the church was earnestly praying for him. And you know the story? He's in jail. An angel shows up, says, get up. And the scales fall off. I mean, talking about special effects. This is the real thing here. Okay? They walked back all the guards. They walked out of the prison. Incredible. Peter went back to the Christians. He was knocking on the door. They're busy. They're inside praying. The maid that went to go answer the door, she gets so excited. Instead of opening the door, she ran back. She left him out there. See, it's Peter. They said, no, it can't be Peter. It's like, wait a second, it's Peter. That's why you guys are praying. Obviously, they open the door and Peter comes in. It's amazing how, as Christians sometimes, it's funny. We're praying for stuff, and then when God does it, we're like, wow, would you look at that? It's like, come on, man. He's answering your prayers. It shouldn't surprise us. It should be praise God. Thank you, Lord. Finally. Amen? And that's what happened in Acts chapter 12. Nehemiah did the same thing. You know, remember, those guys had gone back, they rebuilt the temple, and now they're going back to rebuild the wall. And the man is looking sad. The king says, what's wrong? And the Bible says, immediately right there, he prayed. And the man was very favorable to him. He said, you can go. As a matter of fact, I want you, here's some letters. I want whatever it is you need to go rebuild that wall in Jerusalem, go ahead and do it. Amen? Brothers and sisters, there are times when we're at work, we're at home, we're talking to somebody, something's going on, they're asking us something. You need to be praying. That's when God does some of his best work. Now, we just can't be throwing up, you know, 10-second prayers and think that's going to sustain us. That's not what I'm talking about. We need to have set times. But we need to have spontaneous prayers, spur of the moment prayers. that we put up to God. Amen? I mean, the other day, I remember, the kids are back in school now. They've been in school now for 2 weeks. And you know how it is. You know, they get that list. You parents know what I'm talking about. It just costs you some serious money. But anyway, you get that list and you're buying the stuff off the list. And one of the things on the list was a calculator. But it wasn't just some little calculator. First of all, the thing I said was, wait a second, when I was in school, when you were in school, parents, we couldn't use a calculator. You had to figure it out longhand. Log tables. And I'm like, wait a second, what are they teaching these kids? But you know what? That's a different day, different lesson. I'm not going to get excited. But I needed to go buy this calculator. And it's not cheap. So one of the things, what I always do is I get on the computer and I Google the item. And it will tell you, you know, different stores where they're selling this stuff and, you know, the prices. And so I found out that the cheapest place where we could find it was at Walmart. I said, great, we're going to Walmart. It was supposed to be, I think it was $95. That was the cheapest. For this, I forget the name of it. Texas Instruments something, something second edition. And so we get to the store, we finally find the place, and there were two items left of that product on the shelf. So we grabbed one. We got to the, what do you call it? We got to the cash, checkout, and they scanned the thing. Boop! It's not even on the computer. And so I'm standing there. They have to go check it, this. So the lady comes back and says, you know what? This is a new item. As a matter of fact, we had to order a bunch of new ones and whatever. You know, what's the price of the old one? The other older model, $80. That's all. Just pay $80. I was standing there praising Jesus. I just saved $15. You see, there are times when you got to stand up those quick prayers very quickly. Amen. And it was great. I mean, it wasn't as if I didn't say the price was it. They said, you know what, you're going to pay 80. I said, thank you. I'm not going to argue. But you see, it's important. The goal, like I put up here, is to pray without ceasing. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 talks about. Praying constantly. Constantly. Amen? Praying without ceasing. You know, you got a few minutes on your hands, just pray. You know, instead of watching television, pray. Amen? Amen. With whom should we pray? The first thing we've got to do is we've got to pray in secret. The Bible tells us to do that. In other words, by yourself. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 6, Jesus says, when you pray, notice he says when, not if. That is not accident. He says, when you pray. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen? Amen. We need to pray in secret. We need to pray by ourselves. That's very important. He said, oh, Richard, if I'm praying in secret, nobody sees me. That's precisely the point. Only God sees you. And that's the only person that really counts. Are you with me? But we need to pray in secret. Now, for you, for some of us, that may mean in your bedroom or somewhere, or, you know, go for a walk or whatever. But pray by yourself on a daily basis. I love praying with my wife. Okay? And if you're married, we need to be praying with our spouses. But I tell you, man, there's nothing like me, just me and my God. I love praying with Sarah. But man, I treasure that time, just me and God, man. For several reasons. Number one, I can go as long as I want. I'm not worried about, you know what, we got to cut this thing short. I can say whatever it is that's on my heart. I can take my time, I can sing, I can cry, I can do whatever it is I want. You can do whatever it is you want. Amen? It's not fair, you're praying with somebody, and then you're going on and on and on and on. That stuff you're going to be doing by yourself. Where, you know, your spouse now bumps you, honey, honey, can I pray too? Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to get to that in a second. Okay? But when you're praying by yourself, you can go as long as you want. And that's very, very important. Amen? And here's the part, you know, this is not an exercise in futility. It says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God will answer your prayer. Again, I know we all like rewards in here. I like rewards. Amen? If you say you don't like rewards, you're a liar. Everybody likes rewards. I like to be rewarded. Amen? God will reward your prayers by answering you. Whom else will we pray? The Bible says pray with two or three other people. In Matthew chapter 18. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Amen? Again, it's important to pray with other people. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. Pray with other disciples. Hey, bro, what's up? What are you up to? I'm doing nothing. I'm just watching CSI. Turn that CSI off. Come on over. Let's pray. Amen? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with CSI. But I'd rather pray than be watching 24. Now, it doesn't exist anymore, you know. So, I'm you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself now Monday nights, but we'll see. Thank you. That's what I'm going to be doing. Monday night. 9 to 10. Richard's going to be praying. Because there's no more 24. So just pray. Pray with other people. There's power in it. Amen? Very, very important. Again, I'm not saying this to blow my own trumpet. Whenever that was, I guess 2 weeks ago now, one of my best friends found out his mother's got stage 4 cancer. And I knew for him, the grieving process already started. And so I called him up, you know, I made several phone calls, eventually I got him. He said, bro, you know, I've been next door. God is an amazing God. When we were in South Africa, God worked it out in such a way that Mike Tolliver lived right next door to his mom and dad. They were literally next door. There was a fence in between the homes, and we had a gate in between, and we would go right through, and boom, you're right next door. And it's amazing, several months ago, the house that's next to Mike and Ambrigid in San Antonio came open. And he said, you know, Mike was telling me one time, he said, you know what, there's a good chance, you know, my parents can move in next door. And I said, wouldn't that be awesome? It would just be like South Africa. And the man was asking for too much money. And so they said, we're not going to do it. And lo and behold, you know, obviously the market is still coming down. They're now next door. The woman is starting chemotherapy tomorrow. She's the one taking care of Mike's father. I mean, they're literally next door. Again, you think that's an accident? I don't think so. So anyway, I called him up and I said, bro, let's just pray. Fortunately, Hervé Florent was also there, who's an evangelist also in the church in San Antonio. I said, bro, put the phone on speaker. I know you're going through a lot. You don't have to pray, but I'll start. Hervé, you can finish it. And we just prayed. And he also prayed at the end, to both our surprise. And he called me up the next day and said, bro, you don't know what that did for me. A few months ago, one of our brothers who leads the church in the Congo Republic, the guy who used to be the leader, got him locked up. He's dragged him to court 4 times. And I found out about it. I got a hold of him on Skype. And all I could do was, bro, let me encourage you. You know what? Let's just pray together right now. And it was so cool being able to pray through with Skype. And again, it's free. Here I am talking to somebody in Africa. Over 20 minutes and I don't pay a dime. It was awesome. I believe God has given us phones and cell phones in this age to be able to, for us to be able to use it. Think about what church would have been like back in the first century. Paul is in, you know, Thessalonica, just be able to pick up the phone and talk to the brothers in Jerusalem. We can do that now. But we've got to take advantage of it. Call somebody up and say, your brother, sister, let's just pray. Amen? Amen? That's what the first century church was known for. They were constantly praying. How should we pray? We know this one. In Luke chapter 11, from verse 1 to 4, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. This is basically a formula he's giving us here. It says, when you pray, that's it again. Not if, when. Say, Father, hallowed be your name. We need to spend some time just praising God. Because he's king. He's the creator of the universe. We're talking to the highest authority ever. Amen? Well, we need to spend some time just adoring God for who he is. And just praising him. Then, you know, you need to pray about some physical needs. It says, give us each day our daily bread. That's okay. Amen? And then we also need to pray about our spiritual needs. It says, forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us and lead us not into temptation. That's all spiritual stuff. Amen? But we have the formula right there. But it's something that we need to be constantly doing. Amen? How many of us, when we're driving, are praying? Go ahead and raise your hand. When we're driving somewhere, going to work or something, you're praying. Okay, that's good. Every hand needs to go up in this room. Amen? Turn that radio off. Stop listening to these jokers. Everybody's got an opinion. Okay? Don't waste your time listening to that. Spend the time in prayer to your Father instead. Amen? 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 I'm not saying it's a sin to listen to the radio. Please don't get me wrong. But if that's all you're doing in traffic, come on, man. Spend the time in prayer instead. Amen? Now, here's what I want us to do as a church for the next 7 days. Starting tomorrow, we're going to pray for our families. The whole church. I want us to do this together. Okay? Monday, family. Your immediate family, your extended family, your relatives that you haven't seen since 1945, that's okay. Just pray for them. That's what I want us to do tomorrow as a church. Pray for family. On Tuesday, I want you to pray for this church. Pray for people inside the church. Here we are. We're still trying to get our own building. Pray about that. There's so many needs. But pray for the church. Not only here in this congregation, all over Atlanta, all of your brothers and sisters, all over the world, pray for them on Tuesday. Amen? Then on Wednesday, I want you to pray for Gwinnett County or whatever county you live in. If you live in DeKalb, that's fine. Okay? Pray for this county. Pray for God to open doors. Pray for God to change hearts. Amen? That's where things begin. That's where things start. On Thursday, pray for this country. Amen? We're commanded to do that in the scriptures, you know. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If we spend more time praying for the government and for the nation, instead of criticizing them, our world will be a much better place. I'm not saying we shouldn't criticize them. We have the freedom of speech. Praise God for democracy. But pray for them. He said, oh, Richard, all those people are beyond redemption. That's not for you to decide. He said, our politicians are liars. Well, that's not for you to decide. The Bible still says, pray for them. Amen? So on Thursday, we're going to pray for the nation. On Friday, we're going to pray for the entire world. Amen? There are people suffering in this world. There are people suffering in this country. I mean, the big thing on the news right now is that flood in Pakistan. Those are people, man, just like you and I. They got nothing. One of the things that bothers me, again, I'm not a political person. I don't preach politics on the pulpit, but you know, I'll tell you how I feel on this issue. It's like, wait a second, here we are. These guys need help. You can see the US stepping up, you can see other quote unquote Christian nations stepping up, and I'm like, wait a second, where are the Muslim nations? I don't understand that. How come nobody's talking about that? But we need to pray for this world. This world is in a mess. On Saturday, we're going to pray for those that are afflicted. The poor, the sick, the widows, the orphans. Spend some time praying for them. Amen? And then next Sunday, you're going to pray for yourself. You say, Richard, all week I'm not going to pray for myself? Yeah. You know why? First of all, the Bible says we need to consider others better than ourselves. And also, my Bible tells me that God knows what you need before you even ask. So don't worry about your needs. He knows what they are. Amen? So, yeah. Again, I'm not asking us to be legalistic about this. So, you know, on Thursday, I put in a few lines for myself in there. You're not in sin, all right? Okay, I know that's going to happen. It's all right. But the whole idea is for us as a whole church to be doing the same thing for the next 7 days. Again, amen? And again, don't just do it in the house. Go for a prayer walk. Walk around your neighborhood. Do something different. Okay? But spend some time building up this temple. This temple that's meant to be a house of prayer. You know, a few weeks ago, I asked us to talk to somebody and ask them to be praying for something for you. And I hope you did that. Because God is answering. Yeah, is. Amen? Yeah. It's really exciting. Again, I remember very clearly that afternoon in the fellowship, I was talking to Alan Rouse. And I asked him, I said, bro, is there anything I can be praying for you about? He said, you know, be praying about my job, you know, that, you know, things will pick up and, you know, I'll have work to do and, you know, I'll be relevant and all that stuff. And he was telling me on Wednesday night, Richard, man, I'm busy. There's work to be done. I said, amen. Now, I'm not saying, quote unquote, oh, that's just my prayer. But I know other people are praying for him on that. But God is answering. And I hope God is answering your prayers too. Amen. The more people that are bringing your requests before God, the more God is listening. Amen. This house was designed to be a house of prayer. Let's make it that, to the glory of God. God bless you all.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this morning, God, to worship you. God, I pray that the worship service thus far, God, is pleasing to you. God, thank you so much for this ministry. Thank you so much, God, for Richard, for Steve, for Alan, for Gary, God, and for all the leaders that we have in this ministry, God. We are very grateful for that. God, I pray that you continue to bless us, God. Bless the awesome middle school and teen ministry that we have here, God. I know that you already blessed them with so much talent. They're so talented, God. But God, I pray that you continue to bless them. I pray, God, that we have an awesome week this week, God, as we try to teach us this morning, God, to pray. I pray that we improve on our praying time, God, as we know, God, that prayer is powerful. God, we love you so much. Thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that the Son made for us, God. We love you. God, you're just so awesome. Again, God, we're just so grateful for this ministry that we're in. We're just a group of people who love you passionately, God. I pray that, God, we don't take all of this for granted. I pray that this week as we pray, that we'll be more thankful for what we have. God, we love you so much. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.